Moore.
And I'm Colin Lapp.
And you're listening to
Press Coverage, B2's own American football podcast.
Touchdown! Hello and welcome to Press Coverage, the V2 American football podcast and the fastest growing American football podcast in the United Kingdom. We have a lot to get through as usual tonight. Later on we'll be taking a look at week 5 for the NFL, including a mammoth encounter between the San Francisco 49ers and the Houston Texans, a big one indeed. We'll also be taking a look back at last week's action, including the really exciting Wembley game between the Steelers and the Vikings. But we've got something else planned first. But first of all, I'll just say hello to Colin. How are you?
Yeah, good, thanks.
Excellent. Now, we have just had the chance to have a chat with superstar of the college football world, and that man is a guy we've spoken to before on the show, but he's been so kind to come back on again. Obviously didn't scare him too much, and that is Taj Boyd, the Clemson quarterback. So a really interesting interview, this. A lot of stuff, great stuff about his own performance this season, looking ahead, you know, Heisman Trophy stuff, and a lot of great insight from behind the scenes at Clemson. So take a little listen to what Taj Boyd had to say.
So how are you doing, Taj?
I've been doing really well, man. Yeah. Just going away, just trying to enjoy this last year, man.
Enjoy
this last few months.
Yeah, and you had a pretty good game at the weekend against Wake Forest. Obviously, a big victory for you guys in a convincing fashion. Do you think you guys played well?
I think we did play well. I think that we played really good as a group for our solid, you know, 3 quarters before we started switching guys out. It was good to get out there and get some camaraderie with those guys and just get an understanding of what we can possibly be when we're all together and playing on the elite level.
Yeah, and what about your start to the season? I mean, no picks, 9 touchdowns, almost 1,000 yards passing. You've ran the ball pretty well too. Are you happy with your own performance?
Yeah, it's been pretty good. There are a lot of things that I just continue to keep improving on. And that we need to continue to improve on as a program. But I think it's very good. So far, and man, I just get excited for each week of practice. And every time we step out on that field, man. So, very pleased with how everything's been going so far, but we're far from the finished product,
and
myself included.
Yeah, and before that game against Wake Forest, your offensive coordinator, Chad Morris, I believe, told you to go out and have fun, and you certainly did that. I mean, the team dominated, won by 56 points to 7, and you personally also crossed the milestone of 100 career touchdowns. How good was it to achieve a career milestone like that? And going back to Coach Morris's comments there about going out to have fun or whatever, did that come because he maybe thought you were putting yourself under too much pressure at some points, or maybe not relaxing enough during games?
Yeah, I mean, there was a situation where, you know, I kind of just didn't go out there and just enjoy the game. Because I was going out there and trying to, you know, make it so much more than what it really was. At the end of the day, it's a game that I've been playing since I was 7 years old. There's only one more time in my career where I get a chance to play with these guys in the same group right here, and that's for these last few months. And I mean, I got a chance to sit down with Morris and talk and talk to a couple other guys. And, you know, it kind of shared to me that I need to enjoy this journey, enjoy these last few months, because after this, you know, it's just a business from here on out. And we'll get opportunities to play with brothers like I do have right now. So, you know, I think that I put a little bit
Yeah, and Taj, I mean, I suppose there is a necessity to keep winning. I mean, the ACC looks like a really top division right now. Obviously, Maryland, Florida State, Clemson, all unbeaten. You're expected to win your next few games, but is it hard not to, you know, sort of just point out that game against Florida State? Is that the big one that you guys are focusing on right now?
Trying to trying to win that day, win that game, and it's all about how we prepare the whole week of practice. So, you know, again, you can't really bypass any team, especially in this game, and we just make it a one game season every time we step on that field.
And you mentioned there, obviously, just win at all costs. The game against NC State, that wasn't quite as big a blowout. And you guys, I wouldn't say you struggled, but it was quite a tight game until the end. Do you think that was good for you guys as a team to have a really tough contest?
Yeah, I think so. I think it kind of
pushed
us to play a little bit better and make us realize that we need to go out and just have fun, just execute. No game is expected to be easy. There are many makes and breaks of a game, but you know, I think that for us, it's all about that execution, what we're talking, what we're capable of doing. There are times in games and situations where I think we kind of expect to go out and score every drive, and you know, when it doesn't happen, we can put ourselves in a situation. I put myself in a situation where, you know, I'm kind of expecting more. And again, at this stage in our career, the type of team we have, we go out there and just play loose and just enjoy the game. We got an opportunity to do something special. And that's just what we're trying to do for the next few games.
Yeah, and I mean, everyone considers Clemson to be one of the better teams in the nation. Obviously, the polls tell you that as well. You guys are nationally ranked. But who do you guys see as the other elite teams in the country right now? Which teams do you guys sort of see as standing out?
Just looking at it from outside, looking at it, I think there's some really good teams in football right now. I think that Alabama has a really good team. I think that Oregon is a solid team. And of course, Georgia's continued to prove that they are a great team, and LSU. All these guys. So, you know, it's kind of, we'll see how the season shakes out. But again, there are a lot of teams, but these teams have to be focused on being the best that they possibly can be, and go out and worry about that one game, because if they don't, then, you know, you're about to have a letdown game. And one of the things is you don't get punished for losing against a top team, but you get punished for losing a game that you're not supposed to lose, so it's important to go out there and be the best at all times.
Now, it's been nearly a month now since the season got underway, and that was that big game against Georgia, of course, and that was one of the most anticipated games of the season, despite being in week one. I mean, the game certainly lived up to the hype, but just how important was it to make a statement like that by beating another team seen as a national championship contender in week one?
It was big. Again, because I think we put us in a situation where you don't have to change so much. You know, again, we got to be the best that we can possibly be, but I think winning that game puts us in a good position right now. And for right now, that's all it is, a good position. It's like when you're in pole position and racing. I mean, you're in a good seat, but you got to continue to keep on driving and winning that race. And for us, I mean, that's kind of how we look at each game. Each game is essentially a lap, and you just got to make sure that you stay the course and stay on track.
And what's the sort of feeling among the Clemson fans now? I mean, obviously, before the season, they'll have wanted to win the national championship, but because you've had such a strong start to the season, have expectations risen at all around Clemson? Are the fans sort of more eager to get that championship because they've seen how well the team's been playing?
Oh, yeah, the expectations are really high. But, I think for fans, it may be a little different than the way you do it. Because right now we have an opportunity and we have to go out there and fulfill it. So we kind of put all the other stuff to rest, the talks and things like that, because we got to go out and handle business every time we step on that field.
And another game that Colin mentioned coming up was, of course, the game against number 8 Florida State in a few weeks' time. I just want to ask your opinion as a fellow quarterback, how impressed you've been with their freshman quarterback, Jameis Winston, in the early days of his college career.
Yeah, he's been a really good quarterback, man. He's been fun to watch. I got a chance to watch him a few times this season, and he's always put on the show. So I think that he's done a great job, especially being a redshirt freshman and handling and winning in certain situations. And not going out there and letting the game get too big for him. So it's been impressive watching him perform, and it'll be exciting to see him in the battle and see what happens right here.
And Taj, you mentioned the fact that obviously you guys can still improve. Do you think there'll be more wrinkles in the offense in the coming weeks Do you still think you guys are evolving? Obviously, some wide receivers have stepped up, some other ones. Guys like Bryant seem to just flash every so often. Do you think there's still more consistency to come?
Yeah, for sure. I don't think that we've peaked or finished things in offense yet at all. There's always games, and Coach Morris does a great job, and all the offensive staff does a great job of trying to make sure that we're fresh and add new things. Because, I mean, there's room for expansion in the offense, but we have to execute what we know right now, and that's a big thing. Once we start to execute everything at a high level and a consistent basis, then we'll start to continue to keep adding things. But for right now,
and obviously because of guys like yourself and Sammy Watkins, it's easy to get caught up in Clemson and the explosive offense, but it seems as though the defense has improved from last year as well. Obviously Clemson in the past have had guys like Brian Dawkins and now guys like Vic Beasley. Just how helpful is it to have the D step up the way they have?
I've been very impressed with a lot of those guys. Again, they're helping. I'm not straining as much offense or feel like you're obligated to do anything. You know, again, our technical offense is out there and score as many points as possible. But the defense has been doing a great job. It's one of the better defense that I've seen, so I've been here. And it's been a joy watching those guys. Yeah, I think you're after it.
Yeah, and I have some questions here, and we'll sort of throw them in at random points, but some questions from guys here in the UK and also from Clemson fans on Twitter. Someone's asking, obviously originally you committed to Tennessee, and Lane Kiffin, who has been sacked as a USC coach. What are your thoughts on Lane Kiffin? Do you still think of him quite fondly?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, the business is all about performance. And, I mean, it's an unfortunate situation for him, so, yeah, but, again, you got to win in a position like that, in a school like that. You know, we haven't really had a bad history. You know, I was originally committed to Tennessee,
and another question we have here from NFL UK is, obviously last time we spoke to you, you talked about the quarterbacks you liked. Have you caught any of the NFL season this year? And apart from Peyton Manning, obviously Peyton Manning's been unreal, have any other guys stood out to you? Interesting you mentioned Russell Wilson. We have sort of a silly question here because you did mention before you're a fan of Wilson, and it's someone on, it's a 49ers forum actually, asking what do you think of Russell Wilson's new haircut? Which I'm not sure.
The new haircut was kind of weird, man. Honestly, I don't really know what to say about it too much. It's kind of like, I don't know what it is, man. I guess he has really good hair. I can't do that, so it's been, I watched a couple of interviews and it's
definitely been kind of wild looking at it, but I mean, again, I think he's pulling off as well. He's always had the clean games, so he always keeps himself well, man, in the chest. Yeah, and I mean, Colin obviously mentioned guys like Sammy Watkins and Martavis Bryant who've been there for a wee while now, but how impressed have you been with some of the freshmen that you have in the offense this season who've seen a wee bit of game time, the likes of Mike Williams and Jermaine Hopper in particular? How bright a future do you see for them at Clemson, both in terms of the rest of this season? Do you think they'll start to come into things a bit more and in years to come? And how impressed have you been in general with them so far?
It's been enjoyable working with the younger guys. And I think that the course of time, this is only the beginning of it. Well, every year, I've seen the top guys coming in every year, but it's been impressive watching some of the young guys. Mike Williams has just been a solid performer. Really understanding what we're trying to do here. He's been doing a great job of putting himself in situations to make plays. not happening. And then he got vastly improved his mannerisms, the way he plays the game. Today he's always on the ball. TJ Green is another guy. Very good guy. He's going to be an exceptional player for us. So, I mean, we got some guys that can just play out and do it. And it's going to be fun watching these guys for years to come.
And going back to yourself, Taj, the Heisman Trophy. I mean, have you given that any thought at all? How much of a case do you feel you're making yourself so far to be given that honour?
I don't know. I mean, it's a prestigious award, and it definitely honors it to be mentioned amongst it. But again, I mean, the big thing for me right now is just trying to lead this team to win, and I think all that will eventually take care of itself. So it's been fun. It's been great being mentioned with it again, and I think that right now,
yeah, and I also have another bit of a silly question on Twitter that came in for you, and it's a Philadelphia Eagles fan saying, are you looking forward to playing for the Eagles? So basically that guy's got you down as Michael Vick's replacement.
Yeah, you know, the Eagles, I mean, they're a good
talking about the NFL, your old buddy DeAndre Hopkins looks as if, you know, he's having a pretty good rookie season with the Texans. Have you had fun watching DeAndre, especially the game-winning touchdown against the Titans?
Yeah, man, that was impressive. Yeah, I think that he needs to even get the ball more. I mean, he's one of the most explosive guys in the NFL already, and it's going to be fun watching that guy for years to come. So, very excited about him, his career, and what he could possibly do up there.
Yeah, and we have another question on from Twitter. This is actually from a Clemson fan, and just a bit of a fun one. He says, if it's fourth down, game on the line, and you can throw to one guy, would it be Sammy Watkins, DeAndre Hopkins, and he's thrown in Dwayne Allen as a wild card as well. So who would it be if you had to pick one guy?
Oh, man, one guy right now. I mean, it'd probably be DeAndre, just because, I mean, this guy's proven already, so, I mean, you know, a guy like that, you gotta get the ball in his hands and just let him go up. And if the ball's in the air, he's gonna get it. So, I think you've seen that with him here. I think you've seen it already with some of the plays that he's made in the Texans game. So, it's probably been good for sure.
Yeah, and just on a personal note, you mentioned last time that you enjoy playing FIFA. Have you got any time for video games right now?
Yeah, man, I went and bought the FIFA 14.
Oh, cool. Manchester United still your team?
I've been on the FC Barcelona lately, and I had to keep on continuing to improve my knowledge of the soccer game or the football game, so it's been fun playing it though.
Yeah, well, if you're a Barcelona fan, Gareth Bale signed for Real Madrid, their rivals, for, was it, I think it's £80 million, so a lot of money in Spain.
Just got another couple of questions back to the football. First one, not to maybe put a negative spin on things, but I just want to ask you about Isaiah Battle, who obviously sat out the Wake Forest game through suspension after being ejected in the previous game. Has he apologised for suspension? Has he returned to training? And are you expecting him back in the team this weekend?
Yeah, he's going to be back in the lineup this week. And he's a very physical, passionate player. I think he's a little bit too passionate for the one-hit play he had against Tennessee State. But I'm expecting him to be back in the lineup this week, and he's going to be a tremendous help for us throughout his whole season. So very excited about him and what he's going to help for the team this season.
Yeah, and the offensive line at Clemson was seen generally as quite a good strength for you going into the season. Dalton Freeman the only major loss. I mean, how comfortable do you feel with how your O-line's been looking so far this season as they sort of continue to gel together?
I'm very comfortable, man. I feel like these guys have been developing a great relationship and coming out of it this whole season. And, I'm very comfortable with those guys out there, man. Whoever's out there, I feel like gives us opportunities out there and get it done. But again, at some point, we have to get a solid group and stick with it. But we have a lot of depth in the offensive unit up front.
And just the last sort of question I have for you as we begin to wind down anyway. I mean, next up, I've got to ask you, is that game at Syracuse. They currently sit on a 2-2 record. What sort of challenge are you expecting in this one?
Syracuse is a physical game, very aggressive. We'll go out there and take some shots and do some things to just flat out just come try to and come get you. And you got to be ready for every situation possible because, I mean, it is unknown. They haven't never been up there and find them for us, but something
that
we're excited about. It's
going to
be an intriguing matchup. We
just got to
go and make sure we get it down and go up there.
Yeah, and same with me, Taj. I've got a few more questions, but these are actually fans' questions. Some from Clemson fans, some from guys on NFL UK. One of the questions is, the game against Georgia in Death Valley, is that the best atmosphere you've ever experienced?
Yeah, my time here has definitely been the best atmosphere so far.
Great. Next question, another silly question. Obviously, you're on a sort of ban from Twitter right now, but when you get back, if you could have one female celebrity follow you on Twitter, who would it be and why?
Let's see, man. Miley Cyrus, you know? I think she'd be interesting to get a chance to talk to her, man.
And you were quite active on social media, so are you missing Twitter, or are the guys not really bothering about the coach's ban?
Oh, man, I don't think we're really worried about it. It would be exciting to get back home, but right now, you know, we're just trying to lock in and get focused up here, but I think it's time to check it, just can't tweet anything, and I love getting a chance to talk to people on Twitter for sure.
And one last question from a fan as well. Obviously, you played against Georgia, and for some great prospects on that team, but out of all the teams you faced this year, which defense did you find the biggest challenge?
I think the NC State's front four was really good. Those guys are very competitive, very, very active, and did a great job of doing some things against us. So I think that they have a really solid unit. I think they have a really great season this year. And it'll be fun to watch those guys go out there and compete this season.
Yeah. Well, as I say, that was the last question, Taj. So thanks a lot for giving us the time, and hopefully we can catch up with you probably the week after the Florida State game.
Okay, cool. That'd be good, man.
Thanks a lot again, Taj.
Yeah, all right, have a good
evening. Cheers, Taj. All the best.
I appreciate it, bro.
Yeah, so once again, thanks to Taj Boy for giving us an interview. Really cool guy. So now we can move on to the NFL stuff. And, in fact, I was going to ask Taj about his opinions in one of the games. Of course, that's going to be a 49ers victory against the much-maligned Houston Texans. But I did forget, but I know what his answer would be anyway. It would be red and gold. But anyway, Jonathan, good NFL weekend there, I'd say. Some nice games, some big moments, I guess. Anything really stand out to you?
It was a very good weekend. There were a couple of surprises in there as well. You know, the Buffalo Bills getting a win. More things. I thought the Jets might have got something off the Titans, but clearly not. We also saw the Broncos dominating again. Phillip Rivers managed to pull a win out the bag, so there's certainly a lot to talk about, but I think we've probably got to start with the big Wembley game, and obviously anyone that was at that game certainly, hopefully, would have been a great experience for them, but that is the sort of game we want to see in this country. It was, right from the off, it was incredibly competitive. Obviously, Steelers had the best of the last quarter anyway, but certainly in the first three, it was end-to-end. You really couldn't... Obviously, the Vikings always looked the more impressive team, but you could never truly judge just who was going to get the job done there. And obviously, Adrian Peterson came across the Atlantic and put in a magnificent performance. A couple of touchdowns there, showing what he can do. Matt Castle has certainly made a case. You know, obviously, we went to recording last week and the announcement hadn't been made yet that Castle was going to play, but He certainly has done his chances absolutely no harm. But it was just a great offensive game of football to watch, and I think certainly from a Steelers point of view, certainly the best they've played so far this season. They'll be, there's certainly positives to take out from it, none more so than the rookie Le'Veon Bell. I mean, came out of nowhere, he got his first start in the team, and he also managed a couple of touchdowns on the board, so that'll be real encouraging for the Steelers to see a young guy like that getting off to a great start. But all in all, it was a fantastic game, made even better by the fact it was over here in the UK, and hopefully the next one we've got over here can somehow follow that one. It'll be tricky, but a very enjoyable game, that's for sure.
Yeah, and I'm with you on your point about Castle. I mean, he really did open up the offense for the Vikings. I think with Ponder, it really is dink and dunk, and you've not really got the big play potential. It just looked, I don't know if it was, the Steelers' defense is old, but it's still pretty good, so I think there was a big improvement there. There were so many big play opportunities. And talking about dink and dunk, or dunk dink, one of the players that I know you have a problem with as a Texans fan is the quarterback Matt Schaub, and of course he virtually, you can talk about the play calling all you want, but at the end of the day, if that call on third down was made with the game running down, it doesn't really matter. If it's not there, you don't take it. You take the sack or you throw the ball away. So once again, Schaub makes a critical mistake at a critical time. How annoyed are you at him? And do you think in the future, next season and beyond, there has to be a change at the QB position?
Annoyed doesn't even begin to explain it. I mean, after week one, I sort of thought, you know what, he's had a decent enough game today. Maybe things are going to look up, but he's only the second quarterback in the NFL since the 1940s to throw three pick sixes in three consecutive games. So the other one is Peyton Manning. So as I said on Twitter at the time, he is in good company, but nonetheless, it's just not exactly great. I mean, 20 points unanswered they were at one point going into the second half, and then all of a sudden, the plot was lost. And I mean, you can go on about play calling all you want and stuff. I've watched that attempted pass so many times, and I just can't even begin to digest what anyone was thinking, more Schaub obviously in particular. I mean, he's ran the opposite direction and literally just turned around and hoofed the ball in a random direction, almost seems, and that is not what you want to do. And you get Richard Sherman chasing down the ball, because 9 times out of 10, or maybe in a player like Sherman's case, 10 times out of 10, he's going to get to that. So he didn't really pick the best moment to make a play like that. I don't even want to call it a play, it was that bad. But I think, I mean, he's 32 years old now. He's had so many chances. As I was saying to you on Sunday during, while Red Zone was on, watching the end of it, guys like Foster and more so Andre Johnson, their talents have been wasted. I think with a genuine top-drawer quarterback in there, the Texans could have achieved so much more. Well, I should say, let's not beat around the bush. The Seahawks are an excellent team. They're 4-0 up in terms of their games this season. But still, for a team like the Texans, who's trying to make themselves look like not just a top playoff contender once they get there, but a genuine Super Bowl contender, you just simply cannot literally throw games away like that, which is Matt Schaub did. And to answer your question about quarterbacks, I began to say that he's 32 years old now. He's had so many chances. I think it's time that Houston is coming to an end, and I should say it wasn't me that was burning Schaub jerseys on Sunday. You might find hard to believe, but not guilty. I think, I don't know, I hadn't really contemplated it before, but I think next year the Texans might have to consider trading up to get, you know, one of the top quality quarterbacks, Taj Boyd, if you're still listening, yes, you. But the guys that are backups just now, TJ Yates, Case Keenum, it's all well maybe saying throw them in, give them a chance, but these guys certainly aren't the answer. I think we've unfortunately got to stick with Schaub for now, see where he can get us this season, but the form that he's been on, the mistakes he's made are unforgivable, quite frankly.
Yeah,
Giants fans are just as unhappy with Eli Manning, so maybe there could be some kind of trade there, Eli Manning for Matt Schaub. Two ridiculously overpriced contracts for each other, but that would be a bit of a shock. But once again, I agree with you. I think the Texans could go for a really good rookie quarterback next year. The reason I say that is I keep hearing about the Vikings and how imagine, you know, a good quarterback combined with Adrian Peterson. Imagine a guy like Mariota or Hundley that can run the read option with Adrian Peterson. But the idea of the same thing with guys like Andre Johnson, Arian Foster, Ben Tate, Owen Daniels, that Texans offense could be explosive. And it really is Matt Schaub is holding it back. I mean, you can talk about the play calling all you want, but the reason the play calling is holding it back is because Schaub is not capable. And I don't really understand why there's been this undying faith in him from Gary Kubiak and the offensive coaching staff. It seems a little strange. And his decision making, I mean, you mentioned he's 32. I didn't actually think he was that old. When he saw, you know, when he seen Cam Chancellor running at him blitzing, at that point, any other quarterback with any common sense realises, okay, take a sack, throw the ball away, don't do anything stupid, we're in the lead, the clock's winding down. Yet, in some way in his mind, he thinks to himself, okay, just throw the ball anyway. His decision making's poor. I mean, you wouldn't expect that from a 21-year-old quarterback, never mind a guy who really, I'm guessing he must be an 8 or 9 year vet at least. So, I mean, that's, it really is shocking. And I think the Texans, like you say, with the players they have, they're in a win now mode, so why not take an explosive talent and hope that Schaub disappears, really, because his contract's so much as well. I mean, the Texans actually, I believe Schaub gets paid over $16 million a year, so if the Texans decide to dump Schaub and take a quarterback in the draft, that would leave them over $10 million for free agents and for extensions, so they could actually make their team a hell of a lot better.
Yeah, while I'd like to see that, I've got to be honest, I think as long as Kubiak's there, I think Matt Schaub's going to be the starting quarterback. As you said, he does seem to have this undying faith in him for some reason. He said he's been an 8-9 year vet. I think it was 2004 or maybe 2005 he came to the Texans and the Falcons, and he's been pretty much starting ever since. So while the guys like J.J. Watt have come in, Andre Johnson's improved, Foster's improved, Ben Tate's come in, Owen Daniels come in, they've all come in since that. They've all improved that team. Both sides of the ball have improved radically since the Texans started out. Yet, he's just been there throwing hopeless passes for year after year after year. So while they've got elite players across the board, this guy, and you put it perfectly, he is holding them back. So, and obviously it's not going to be any easier this weekend, that's for sure.
Yeah, well, on that note, we might as well start with predictions. And let's just start with the game. I know it's not in order. We're going for the second to last game in terms of the timescale, but it is a big game. It's a prime time game, game of the week, Sunday night, NBC. Obviously, here it will be on Channel 4. It's a big one. I mean, the 49ers fans raging despite the fact we're 2-2, which really isn't bad, and we're still sitting in a playoff position as it stands, although we're only a few weeks in. And of course, the Texans obviously beaten quite comprehensively by the Ravens. Then I suppose it was sort of like what they did against the Chargers happening to them at home against the Seahawks, giving up a big lead. So it's a game where I think both teams will be hungry, both teams are going to want it. Of course, the 49ers do have home field advantage, but I do think the Texans will be, I think they'll want to come out and make a statement because that was embarrassing for them. So how do you see the game going?
It's similar to the one last week, the Seahawks game, because I'm going to be saying the Texans are going to win the game. I've got to stick by my team, but realistically, I don't see how they can, because I do think the 49ers are just a much better team. Put it this way, I would rather this game happened last week while the 49ers were still having a bit of a slump. I think if they'd come up against the team like the Texans, that slump might have continued. They were quite lucky in the sense that it was the Rams they played, not a overall top-level team that sort of gave them a chance to get their mojo back in. One player that certainly did, a player that I've lambasted week after week, Frank Gore. He looked back to business last week, so not exactly looking forward to facing him when he seems to have got his groove back. Kaepernick, likewise, again. But, I mean, the Texans have got their own right, they've got quality there, as I've mentioned already, so I see this as being pretty close. I can see it being, I think if the Texans are going to win, it could be up to Randy Bullock's kicking again late in the game. I can see it being one of those games, but I could feasibly see the 49ers maybe winning by a touchdown or two here as well, but As I said, I've got to stick my team regardless of what I actually think is going to happen. I'm going to say the Texans are going to win this one.
Yeah, well, likewise, I've got to go for the 49ers, obviously. It's one of those games. I think it could be a tight one. I suppose it depends how the teams respond. I mean, the last time the 49ers played at Candlestick, they were unanimous favourites against the Colts, and they get beaten quite convincingly. In the same way, Texans' last game, we were embarrassed a little bit. So we've both got something to prove. I do think, I hope the 49ers turned a corner against the Rams, because although we won by 20-odd points, to be honest, that was taken lightly in the Rams. The Rams were awful. You know, the 49ers could have easily put up more points, I think, if they were being aggressive with the game plan at the end. But then again, that's the problem. It really doesn't show me anything, because the Rams were that bad. Yes, the 49ers played well, but at the same time, you can't expect the Texans to be quite such feeble opposition. I'm expecting a heavy dose of Arian Foster, but anytime you know the 49ers defense plays well, they shut down the run game. They've been one of the best teams in the league at it the last few years. And put it this way, I believe, honestly, we can shut down Foster. Not shut him down as such, maybe he'll get 50, 60 yards, but I do think we can limit Arian Foster and Ben Tate, in which case the ball gets put in the hands of Matt Schaub a lot. And if you're asking me if it was Andrew Luck with the Colts or Matt Schaub with the Texans, who I fear more when it becomes to a passing game, I think we really could limit the Texans. So I think it's key just stopping Arian Foster, because it's not like the 49ers, you can stop Gore. If Kaepernick's on form, he's proven against the Packers, for instance, he can win games on his own. I'm not sure we can say the same about Matt Schaub. So I'm just hoping we can shut down Foster, who obviously, after Adrian Peterson, I'd probably rank as, yeah, second or third best back in the league. But anyway, Thursday night football this year, or this week, looks pretty awful, though I shouldn't say that. The Buffalo Bills at the Cleveland Browns. And when I say awful, actually, that is unfair, because the Bills just beat the Ravens. Browns have won their second game in a row, beat the Bengals pretty easily, it seems. Didn't really break sweat too much. Bengals' offense was awful. So Bills coming off a big win, Browns coming off two big wins. What do you think? I mean, two teams that don't have, you wouldn't think have huge playoff aspirations in terms of the likelihood of them, but two teams with better than average records.
Indeed, I mean, I've got to say I'm quite surprised this game coming around, that it's two teams, you know, none of them have a losing record as it stands, so that's all credit to both of those teams, who are obviously good down the bottom end of the pecking order in terms of the NFL teams, the way they rank. But isn't the most exciting Thursday night football game in prospect, I'll give you that, but I certainly don't think it's nearly as bad as a game like this would have looked before the season, because both teams have done alright. I mean, since Brian Hoyer's come in, took over as the quarterback in the Browns, they've had two good results, and the Buffalo Bills, you mentioned they'll beat the Ravens, and I think their offense will be pretty exciting. The two rookies, EJ Manuel at quarterback, he's looked decent so far. And Robert Woods, he's been a bit of a revelation. I mean, you're on red zone all the time. Every touchdown from the Bills seems to come from the hands of Robert Woods. So it's going to be a very tight game. It could be one of those sort of low to mid scoring affairs, maybe. But equally, I think there is the potential here to get a few touchdowns on the board each team. But it's going to be a game maybe devoid of the quality that we've seen TV games so far, but I certainly don't see why it shouldn't be a fun game to watch. But in terms of winning, I mean, the Bills will obviously be majorly buoyed by that, what must be a surprise win over the Ravens last week. Obviously it's not the same Ravens we've seen years before, but still a win over Baltimore is nothing to be sniffed at. But I think when you've got two teams that are perhaps quite evenly matched as this, maybe the Bills slightly looking a bit better on paper, they've got more flair players, but I think the Browns, they'll be in a high just now. We want to make an impact after that big trade a couple of weeks ago to prove that that was the right decision. Obviously not so much the players on the field, but that'll be the backroom staff and those up the stairs. But I quite fancy the Browns to sneak the home victory here. And again, it's a tight one, but I think the home advantage will get them through.
Up until like 30 seconds ago, I was agreeing with you. I had it written down that Browns would be my pick, but I'm actually going to go for the Bills just to be different, and also because the Browns have no run game, so it is purely just pass. And the thing is, with Brian Hoyer, who has played well, you know, spelling Brandon Weeden, and probably is now going to be the starter, he's played well, but he's not, he's a legitimate NFL quarterback, but he's not a star. And I just think passing the ball just constantly the way they are, I think with the preparation, seeing them for 2 or 3 weeks now, the Bills will have a better idea of a game plan. And when you have the defensive players they do, I just think it'll be close. But I think the Bills probably have more firepower. And I also think just because they're so one-dimensional, the Browns could come unstuck here. Well, like I say, I did think the Browns would win, but it's just the lack of a running game for the Browns since the Trent Richardson trade that is forcing me to pick the Bills. So we went from Bills to Browns to one of the teams that are now Super Bowl favourites, the New England Patriots. They're visiting the Cincinnati Bengals, who come off an amazing win against the Packers, then play terribly against the Browns, of all people. But Patriots at Bengals, quite simply, I've got the Patriots. What about you?
Yeah, I don't think this one needs, you know, a lot of explaining. That the Patriots, you know, they're a bit of a slow start to the season, but they've really picked things up now. Tom Brady's doing what he wants to do, and I think, you know, Kenbrell Tompkins, young man in there, he's been a bit of a revelation. I mean, I don't think anyone would have expected him. Probably, in fact, most people didn't even know who he was when it came to draft time, so pretty good to see a guy like that just appearing out of nowhere and, you know, showing what he can do. Although, on the other side, the Bengals, I like their offense just now. I say this every week, but guys like Gio Bernard, Green Ellis, AJ Green, they're all exciting to watch. But I think the Bengals may have hit a buffer here. They had a good start to the season, but that loss to the Bills last week, they were absolutely dreadful. And when they're as bad as that, you can see a team maybe going into a wee lull for a while. And the team that you don't want to be coming up against when you're going through a bit of a rough period, or entering one, I should say, is the New England Patriots. And unfortunately for Cincinnati, it is the New England Patriots and Tom Brady they're going to come up against. So, yeah, likewise, it's a Patriots win here. I can't see anything else.
Yep, so next one again, it's actually a really nice game. Divisional rivalry. Two teams that are probably main contenders to win the division, NFC North. It's the Detroit Lions visiting the Green Bay Packers. The Lions beat the Bears, which was a really good victory considering how the Bears have been playing. And of course, the Packers have looked pretty good these last few weeks too, barring obviously the defeat to the Bengals. But simply because it's been played at Lambeau, I'm going to go for the Packers over the Lions, but I do think it'll be a tight game.
Yeah, likewise. I mean, the Lions have improved immensely from last season. Matty Stafford's looking solid this year, but the Packers, home advantage, Lambeau. Obviously, got a losing record just now, but they have had a bye week as well, so got to take that into account. But, yeah, I mean, it's a tough one to call this, but you've always got to fancy the Packers in the home patch, whoever they're playing, really. And when you've got Aaron Rodgers in there, and the quality of receiver they've got too, although saying that, Calvin Johnson's on the other side, so you can maybe cancel that out, but I do certainly fancy the Packers for win here. Like you said, I think this is going to be a really entertaining game, but Packers win.
Yeah, the next game, actually, looking at the schedule, it's actually a really nice schedule for week five, actually. But one of the games that I thought should have been on Sky, ideally, not that they get to choose, the early game would have been the Seattle Seahawks at the Indianapolis Colts. Two teams that I believe are unbeaten have looked incredible. Andrew Locke's looked absolutely amazing. So Seahawks at Colts. Seahawks, in my opinion, have to be ranked as the best team in the NFL right now. I know the Broncos might have been more explosive and looked better, but the Seahawks have faced better competition. So I rank them number one in the power rankings, if I had power rankings right now. So yeah, who do you have out of the Seahawks and the Colts?
Well, again, likewise, I would have really enjoyed this. I really liked to have seen this one on the TV, because it really is a very exciting looking game. And obviously, it's got two quarterbacks who came out of the draft same time last year. Wilson facing off against Luck, of course. I think the Colts, he said they're unbeaten. I think they lost to the Miami Dolphins, if I'm right, in week one or week two. But other than that, they've been absolutely solid. And, you know, the Seahawks, we've said before, they can be a bit dodgy in the road, but, I mean, that win last week when they looked absolutely down and out, that'll certainly, they'll probably think they're invincible coming away from a win like that. But the Colts have really hit a nice patch just now. Everything seems to be moving well for them offensively. So, it's a really tough one to call, but I'm going to go for the Seattle Seahawks to sneak another one. it won't be another, you know, 17 point deficit or whatever it was last week, but I do see them sneaking this one away by a field goal, touchdown maximum.
Yeah, I'm going to go the opposite here. I'm going to go for the Colts, the reason being I just like what I've been doing, what I've seen from the offense. Obviously, Trent Richardson's a big fixture here now in the backfield, and I really like what we're doing offensively, but I also think we're secondary. It's underrated after it was a big weakness last year. The whole defense is playing well. The Seahawks on the road just haven't looked as good as advertised at home. Obviously, against the Panthers, if Cam Newton could have produced much of anything, they would have beat the Seahawks. Then, of course, you hate to say this because it's credit to the Seahawks for coming back, but I'm sure as a Texans fan, you would admit that the Texans beat themselves in some ways. If they didn't make the silly errors, then the Seahawks wouldn't have been back in the game. And I just think Andrew Luck takes care of the ball better than Cam Newton and Matt Schaub. So on the road, just simply off the basis that the Seahawks haven't set the world alight, I don't expect them to do it this week coming, and I think the Colts will win it. So, next game is a game on Sky. I suppose a decent one in terms of the caliber of teams. So Baltimore Ravens visiting the Miami Dolphins. Obviously, the Ravens lost to the Bills. Dolphins lost late last night to the New Orleans Saints Monday Night Football in the Superdome, so no shame in losing there. Ravens at the Dolphins, I think I'd go for the Dolphins there. I mean, obviously the Ravens are Super Bowl champions, but Flacco just threw 5 interceptions. Their running game doesn't seem to be too stellar right now. The Dolphins look pretty good, and like I say, no shame in losing to Drew Brees when he's on fire, so I think at home I'd have to take the young Dolphins team.
Yeah, Baltimore have just in general been pretty unconvincing on both sides of the ball, it has to be said, but you know, Flacco failing to reach the height so far of what he did last year, the 5 interceptions, just sort of the lowest of the low for him just now. The Ravens, they've just looked ordinary. They've gone from Super Bowl champions to, you know, a sort of substandard looking team in all honesty, and I don't expect much from them. Whereas I think the Dolphins have really come out of the traps quickly. Obviously, they'll be disappointed to lose their unbeaten record so far, but as you said, no shame in going to the Saints, a real quality team that seems to be hiding under the radar just now, but they are getting the win after win. Obviously, come on to them later. But yeah, I agree with this. The Dolphins, I mean, I've picked the Dolphins to win their games every week. They've had a couple of surprises in there too, but other than that game, the other night there, against the Saints, they have come up for me, so I'm going to stick with them again. Miami Dolphins to beat the Baltimore Ravens.
So, speaking of the Saints, they're visiting the Chicago Bears, also one of the early games. Saints and Bears should be a good one, two quite explosive offences. I'd say the Bears have a better D, but even though they're on the road, not too much confidence in this, but I'm going to say the Saints will get it done.
Well, likewise, I'm going to the Saints here. I mean, we've gone for quite a few of the same here, a couple of different, but the Saints, as I said, they've sort of been under the radar a bit. They're not getting talked about as much as the other teams that are 4-0. But and Drew Brees, first couple of games was a bit iffy, but he still got the end result. But he's now really starting to come on to the game. He's been really impressive. And when there's Drew Brees is on form, there aren't many better than him. Just that whole offense. I mean, Jimmy Graham, like one of the top tight ends in the league. They've got Colson in there, Sproles. They've all looked impressive, and it's a really formidable looking offense just now. Granted, the Bears, they have their own strong looking offense, but it's decent, as good as Jay Cutler can be. He's no Drew Brees, and I think on the day, Drew Brees is just going far too much for the Bears, and I see a Saints win here by a couple of touchdowns.
Okay.
It's probably by one score or so it is. I think it's an interesting one. So let's rattle through the next few games. Next one, Philadelphia Eagles at the New York Giants. Divisional rivalry. Eagles look good week one, haven't looked too good since. Giants haven't looked good at all, but we are at home, so Eagles at Giants. Do you think Giants get their first win?
No. I just think they've been so bad. I mean, I said last week I think they can write off this season, and I know it's still relatively early, but I'm going to say that every week until they're finally eliminated. They just have, I mean, obviously they've got guys like Victor Cruz, Myers and Manning as the quarterback, but just, they've been awful. Another convincing defeat last week to the Chiefs. it's just not happening for them. And the Eagles, okay, yeah, as you said, they're impressive week one. They've had a bit of a disaster a few weeks following three straight losses. But I think the Eagles go here and get the win simply because the Giants just, they look incapable just now.
Yeah, and the next one, actually, two winning teams right now.
Although that's, we kind of
look pretty bad, actually, now when I've just seen online here of it. I've not seen the results of it x-rayed to Jake Locker, the quarterback, but it's a shame if he is going to be out for any prolonged period of time. It seems he's got a hip injury, so that definitely changes my prediction. The Chiefs will be visiting the Titans, and with Jake Locker healthy, it would have been quite a tough one to pick. But even if he plays, if he doesn't, I think the Chiefs under Andy Reid have had such a great start to the season. I think Alex Smith's taking care of the ball. We've got so many weapons, both sides of the ball. I think the Chiefs beat the Titans in Nashville.
Yeah, I agree, but before I jump the gun, I don't think you gave a prediction for the Giants game.
Did I not?
No.
Oh, right.
Sneak one over.
Yeah, I know, I must have been drinking too much, I don't know. Anyway, the Giants, yeah, I've got the Giants.
That's quite simple, just we need to win divisional game, they're at home, New York, I mean, that market's just, yeah, you don't want to keep losing in New York, so I think the pressure will build to the point where they need a win. I don't think we could. I just don't think it's possible we can lose again. If we do, it will just explode.
Well, I look forward to that explosion. Well, I think in terms of Jake Locker, I think the last I read was this morning. I think it's a hip injury or something. He's going to be out for a minimum of a month, maybe even 8 weeks. So, looks like Ryan Fitzpatrick's going to be taking over in there for a while. And as you said, that immediately changes things right away. The Chiefs, another team with undefeated record, another great win for them last week, and I can't see them getting stopped by the Titans. It's a Chiefs win.
Yeah, and it's actually really disappointing for the Titans. They're 3-1, and the one loss against the Texans, I mean, you know, it was a tight game. The Titans could have easily came away with it in the end, so such a nice start to the season, especially for Locker, when it really is a make-or-break season for him. He excelled, I mean, and for this to happen, he does seem quite unfortunate, but hopefully he comes back strong. Next game, the ever-exciting Jacksonville Jaguars, the last early game, travelling to the St. Louis Rams. Rams looked awful against the 49ers. Jags are perennially awful. I just think the Rams win at home.
Well, you know what? I'm going to be awkward and I'm going to go for a Jacksonville Jaguars win. Just for the sake of it. I mean, to have Blaine Gabbert back in the team, just what an incredible lift that must give everyone around the place. I mean, the aura, the authority he must command when he walks into a room. It must just look God walking into a room. Maybe that's why the Jags have been so bad, just because they've got a guy that's just so good, so godlike, that they just can't handle the pressure playing next to a guy like that. But, yes, back to the real world, I'm going to, as you said, the Rams look very poor. I mean, obviously not Jags poor. The Jags have been in a league of their own this season when it comes to being bad, but I'd like to see them get a win before we go and see them at Wembley, so I think I'm just going to be more hopeful than anything and say that it's going to be this week. Jags to beat the Rams.
Okay, you may have just sort of tipped the scales in my favour here with the predictions. That was, I'm quite happy now. The Carolina Panthers are then facing the Arizona Cardinals in Phoenix. I think it's a bit of a toss-up game, but I'll go for the Cardinals after they won a tight one over the Bucks.
Yeah, the Cardinals have been not too bad. I mean, again, they're sort of quite quietly plodding along in there. You say it's going to be a tight game, this one, but I'm teetering whether to. Yeah, you know what? I'm going to, just to make things interesting, I'm going to go for a Carolina Panthers win here on the road.
You've made me feel even better because I was quite confident in my Cardinals pick. The next one is a late game, which unfortunately I actually think I can miss this. I may have to record this because my plan is, I want to go to sleep so I can then see the game of the week, the Texans at 49ers, so I guess I'll have to catch the first half of this. But Broncos at the Cowboys, really exciting game. Cowboys narrowly lost to the Chargers. Broncos just keep winning. We're on the road, but I still think the Broncos beat the Cowboys in a close one. Though I think it's possible Romo could put up even better passing stats than Manning in this one.
Yeah, certainly. Wouldn't be surprised, but equally, see if the Broncos go here and absolutely dominate again, That wouldn't surprise me either. It's a real intriguing game, depending on, I mean, any way you look at it, whatever the result's going to be, it's going to be intriguing one way or another. So I'm really looking forward to this one. Like you, I might not see it because I might want to get up and watch the Texans, but we'll see how exciting the early stages are. That might make me force myself to stay awake, lots of energy drink, Diet Coke and caffeine all night long, as Lionel Richie once said. But I certainly think the Denver Broncos are going to get the win here, and no, Lionel Richie did not drink Diet Coke. It was an all night long reference, if anyone's wondering. But yes, Broncos win. And maybe Lionel Richie has actually drank Diet Coke. I don't want to get done for defamation here. It might be his favourite drink.
Could be. Next one we already talked about. Texans at 49ers. You going for your own team, me going for my own team. No surprise. Next one is Chargers at the Raiders. Another divisional game. Chargers have looked pretty good. Raiders did look okay with Terrell Pryor. I don't know if he'll be back after his concussion. I'd imagine he will be. But even so, Phillip Rivers has looked pretty good, so I expect his team to get a win on the road in Oakland.
Yeah, Rivers has sort of been rolling back the years. I mean, his stats are pretty impressive. They're right up there with some of the top guys thus far. And, you know, and Eddie Royal's been a bit of a surprise in how good he's been so far. Antonio Gates also reliable. I really like this Chargers offense just now, and I think it will be too strong for the Raiders. Don't get me wrong, the Raiders have surprised me. Even though, I mean, my record does currently stand at 1-3, I think they probably surprised a lot of people with just how competitive they've been in pretty much every game they've played. So they'll put up another good fight here, especially the home advantage. But I do think that the Chargers get the win here in the old California tie.
Okay, so that's all the games covered. So I'll let you come in with your favourite section now, inspired by Kevin Cato. And of course, we will hear his, we're about to hear his wonderful voice. So I'll let you go on with that.
Although, before we do, as Kevin Cato likes to talk about ball games, you missed out a ball game between the Atlanta Falcons and New York Jets.
I do not have it here. I have...
hate the Jets that much?
Really? I don't actually have this on my... In fact, no. I know what's happened. Basically, there's another random thing which I'm just going to have to point out here. It says the Chargers-Raiders game's at 11:35 p.m. Eastern time, that's unusual. That game must have been moved or something.
Yeah, that's even later than the late game.
Yeah, that's what I like, because... yeah, because the Texans-49ers game is 8:30 p.m. Eastern time, then the Chargers-Raiders game is 11:35 Eastern time, which I suppose you can make your argument we're on the West Coast, so for them, it would be 2 hours earlier. But then again, the 49ers is still considered a late game, and they're on the West Coast, so there must be some reason for that. But yes, Jets and Falcons, I will go for Falcons.
Yep, likewise. Not much explaining needed here, but yes, Atlanta Falcons win. And sorry, Kevin, what were you trying to say?
That's the man.
Yeah, well, my man of the week this week, I want to keep to the Wembley game simply because it's also a big occasion for us here. I was tempted to go with Blaine Gabbert. I mean, another flawless performance from the man himself. But I've got to go Adrian Peterson again. He came over, and more than anything, he showed what he can do. An excellent touchdown, another excellent touchdown, really enjoyable game. Matt Castle, he could have made a case, and obviously a guy's like Manning once again through for a ridiculous number of points, but I've got to give it to Peterson this week, really impressive again, and he's my man of the week.
Well, mine's would have to be a 49ers player, and it's Navarro Bowman, the linebacker. Obviously, it was back in Thursday Night Football, so sometimes you forget it ties in with the weekend. It just seems such a long week. But Bowman, with Willis out injured, really was incredible. I mean, interceptions, sacks, strips, you know, just blowing up everything. And I've honestly not seen, individually, for the 49ers, as impressive a performance solely from a defensive player, probably since Alden Smith had, what was it, 5 or 6 sacks against the Bears. So I think, yeah, Bowman was all over the place, and he's proven once again that although 49ers fans don't really care because they have both players, a lot of the time Willis and Bowman is like, oh yeah, they're the two best linebackers in the NFL. And because of the longevity of them, although he's still quite young himself, Willis is considered the best. Well, in the last 2 years, Willis has been playing at an all-pro level and is comfortably one of the best in the NFL, one of the two best. But the last 2 years, and based on this season, I'd put Bowman as the number one inside linebacker in the NFL.
Interesting stuff. So another defensive man of the week from your point of view, and I suppose that just leaves us to wrap up here.
Yeah, well, I would talk about college football, but to be honest, there's only one game that really stands out to me, and it's a late game on ESPN. I think it will be a 1 o'clock in the morning start, Northwestern hosting Ohio State. Obviously, Pat Fitzgerald, I mean, he's doing a great job at Northwestern. They're actually considered a pretty good ranked team this year. Ohio State considered national championship contenders. And I actually think Northwestern will upset them this week, so this could shake up everything in college football. So that's one good game. I believe the other televised games won't be quite so good, but plenty of draft prospects on show to see. So I guess if you're a fan of the draft, it'd be nice to get your eye on some of the potential picks of your teams. But anyway, as you say, time to wrap up. So I will allow Jonathan to say his whatever he wants to say. Sometimes he says it in a foreign language.
Blasphemy.
Yeah.
I suppose. So let's say, get us on Twitter, you know the usual stuff. You get meet Jonathan J. Moore, Colin will be able to big up himself, as he seems to do rather well all the time anyway. But from me, it's goodbye, and I'll see you next week.
Yep, so we'll see you next week, and
hopefully Taj will be playing well at FIFA right now. I'd love to, if I still had my Xbox, I'd like to play him, if he has an Xbox. But anyway, as we say, we'll catch up with Taj again after the Florida State game, and I'm sure that'll be a good one in a few weeks to look forward to.
Touchdown!